blue, out of blue. What can you do? She's powder blue, powder blue, powder blue. What can you do? She's powder blue. I'll be true.
And good morning and welcome to League Indeed for another week. That's the fabulous Ween, my favourite band in the world, doing Powder Blue off their 12 Golden Country Greats album. And it's quite thematic, isn't it, for leading into the decider. It's like that, yeah, that TikTok game that they're playing now. She's a 10, but she wears powder blue.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. She's a 10, but she...
she cheers for the Blues.
Ah. Oh. Didn't they get in trouble for that?
Oh, some AFL kids did, yeah.
Oh, some AFL kids did. But that's pretty harmless, isn't it?
Yeah, well, nobody understood it, of course. The boomers.
They all thought that they were giving him ratings out of 10, but it was just like a...
yeah, I watched that show. It's the only Fox show I watch now, The Back Page.
Oh.
And they were talking about it on there, and none of them understood. They thought that those kids were just lying on the bed staring at a picture of a girl and you know, I think it was she's a 10, but she's got big teeth.
I'm going to have to think of some of these
boomers,
some of these things now, because it's quite entertaining, isn't it?
What can you do? She's powder blue.
He's a 10, but he goes for
Roosters.
Melbourne. Oh, Roosters, yeah.
Hey, what are you thankful? We haven't done Thankful Thursday for years.
I know. It's been a while, hasn't it?
I'm thankful for 80s British musician and producer Trevor Horn.
Oh, Trevor Horn.
Yeah, I've been listening to Frankie Goes to Hollywood's Welcome to the Pleasure Dome all week.
He was responsible for that, was he?
Well, he pretty much invented the whole band, really. Well, they were around. They were like a pub band. And then circumstances prevailed and they ended up in his studio with another guy who I can't remember, the guitar player, who does a... you know, in Relax. Bow, bow, bow.
Oh.
That's him. Well, not Trevor, but the other guy.
So Trevor Horn was the Video Killed the Radio Star guy.
Yeah, he was Buggles. He invented Buggles, and then he invented Frankie, and then he joined Yes for a little while.
Yeah, I remember him in Yes, because I'm a Yes fan.
Oh, well, I'm not, see.
Oh,
I think he was just a singer, but he's a bass player.
Yeah,
as
so
well.
He was Buggles, wasn't he?
He was. Him and another bloke.
Well, Buggles, I saw a Buggles thing where they were live a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They sounded incredible.
I know.
It was at some one of those English, like, you know, they were playing for the Queen or something like that, but it was fantastic.
Well, if you got nothing to do this afternoon, dear listeners, put a pair of headphones on and put on Welcome to the Pleasure Dome and prepare to be wowed.
So that's got Relax and all of that.
It's got Relax, Two Tribes.
Two Tribes.
The title track, of course. It's got an ill-advised cover of Born to Run on it.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's got so much going on in it. There's so much, so many little details that you miss if you just casually listen to it in the 80s on the radio. But
well, there you go.
Yeah.
The man who invented the 80s, Trevor Horn.
He did invent the 80s. Is that what it says on your little Wikipedia there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to make out that I made
it. I've heard that before. Sorry to tip you.
Oh.
No, what
that's
you,
okay.
What are you thankful for?
Mm,
or haven't you got anything prepared?
No, I haven't even thought of that. I'm thankful. Oh, I'm thankful for the Perth Museum. I went to the museum yesterday with the boys. And isn't it? Have you been?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Goodness me, I found a whole section that I'd never been to before.
Mm.
Isn't that the magic of museums? You find sections you've never been to before. I'd never been to the innovations section.
That used to happen to me in Canberra because I lived right near it. And I'd go down, the library, the museum and the art gallery, and I'd have a day off and I'd have nothing to do and just cycle down there and find new rooms that I didn't know even existed.
Well, that was me yesterday. That was probably our third trip. I was going to go to the Van Gogh Alive exhibit,
ooh,
but it was going to cost $145 for me and a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old to go. $145.
Well, it's not too bad to get a bit of culture.
Yeah, but it goes over their heads. He's only 3. He doesn't know about culture.
Take him go-karting up to Power Play in Joondalup. This week's episode brought to you by the Perth Museum and Power Play Joondalup.
Well,
go-karts.
I can't even imagine how much it costs to set that museum up.
Yeah.
So maybe we should give him a free plug because it was free to get in.
Yeah, well,
I had my wallet out.
That's no. That's the thing with the galleries and museums is you're free to look at everything that's always there, but the special exhibitions you got to be prepared to pay a little bit. I went and saw.
Well, there was the dinosaurs of Pandagonia or something on yesterday. We didn't go to that though, because the little ones are a little bit frightened of dinosaurs.
Did we pay to get into that ACDC exhibition?
I don't think so.
What a cracker that was! I went twice.
Yeah, that was around the same area. Actually, that was before this museum was there, and she said, and I had my wallet out, and she said, no, it's free till October. So get in before October.
And go and have a go on the go-karts.
Yeah.
That's more go-karts? Expensive.
Did you flip them? As we saw in the Formula One the other night.
Jesus Christ. No, they don't have halos.
The young Chinese kid, he is definitely lucky to be alive, that kid.
I got in trouble off one of the teenage attendants for driving a little aggressively and putting her in the wall, but he was all right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you're encouraged. They say rubbing is racing at Power Play Joondalup.
Yeah, so you're allowed to touch.
Yeah, you're allowed to rub and touch. Because
they've got those big bloody bumpers all over them. It's not like they're Formula One cars.
Well, it's a two-level track, see? So you go up a hill and then across a bridge and then down a pretty steep hill, and there's a wall right in front of you and a giant sign that says, brake now. And they did warn us before we started that it's a pretty treacherous corner. And I cut it a bit sharp and put her in the wall with a terrifying bang.
Put her, like your cart or Sasha?
No, me.
Oh, you. Right.
I put myself into the wall, and I got out of it and went around the next corner, and he was standing there like doing the palm down, you know.
Oh.
Keep it up. Come on, mate. Take it easy. And I did. I was apologetic. I said, sorry, mate.
Well, there you go. Now we found out what that new palm down emoji's for.
Oh, yeah. Well,
has
it's for a
seen
try.
The palm down emoji? That's what it's for. If you're racing too hard, he can just hold his phone up.
And it's
a
for
palm
a try.
Down emoji. Oh, try or held up or put down.
But let's get into the rugby league news. There's a
lot of news. Well, holy crap. It's all going on.
But straight off, I want to, Craig, our friend Craig from Goolagong, alerted us to this via message earlier today or yesterday. NRL-themed hotel to open in Brisbane.
Well, I read up on this because thank you, Craig, for sending that through.
Well,
I might have missed that, but
I'll give the listeners a bit of a rundown here. The ARL Commission has just completed a reported $25 million acquisition of Brisbane's Gambaro Hotel, which is 300 metres up the road from Suncorp Stadium on Caxton Street.
Oh.
Accommodation will be fully rebranded with rooms to be named after the game's legendary players, including Wally Lewis, Alan Langer and Darren Lockyer Suites. They announced a purchase from well-known hospitality family, the Gambaros, calling the Commission's first investment aimed at strengthening the NRL's financial position and indicating more are to come. What do you think about this venture?
How are they going to have one Wally Lewis room? Wouldn't everyone want to stay in the Wally Lewis room? Who'd want to stay in the Julian O'Neill room?
Well, you've got, you wouldn't want to stay in that one.
The plumbing would be clogged up.
Or the Nate Miles.
Nate Miles room.
There'd be a turd just outside your door. That's how you'd know it was the Nate Miles suite.
It'd be sitting on a little tray.
Yeah.
On the breakfast tray.
the Julian O'Neill one would have the turds in the wardrobe.
Everywhere.
In the slippers.
Yeah.
Schlossy Memorial Slippers.
How many rooms did they say they're going to name after players?
Well, it's undecided, but it has 68 rooms.
Well, so there's 68 players they could name it after.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll put in bids and, you know.
Oh, I know what room I want to stay in when I go.
Gary Larson, that's where I'm going to.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to stay in the Sam Bacco room.
It'd be ruined.
Why?
Just from, have a look at Sam Bacco.
Yeah, he seemed pretty tight. So the rooms are going to reflect their...
of course.
Their sartorial style.
Well, the Gary Larson room would have, like, you know, a bedspread that you could bounce a 10-cent coin off.
Swedish precision.
Yeah. I like, there's a couple of comments that were made on Twitter and Reddit, and one bloke said, I'd like to think that Hotel NRL or Villa Volandis, as he calls it, is more than just... rugby league names for rooms. He says, give me Bellamy tearing the cooks to shreds, Ricky on the phone losing his shit because the English fill-in double booked a room, and Josh Dugan dishing out cruisers with a wink behind the bar.
Well, there's a good idea, having Duke. Well, he actually probably does need a job there, so he could go there and he could wink at people. Todd Carney needs a job. He popped up on Phil Gould's bloody Twitter feed asking if he needed a halfback, Todd Carney can work there.
That was an obvious joke that Fox League picked up on and decided that he was serious.
Oh, fuck,
I can't watch them.
Don't watch it. You're so much happier not watching it.
Well, like I haven't watched for 2 weeks. I just saw that on Twitter that they were getting piled on rightfully. Well,
the only thing I watch is when they mic up a player. And they had Addo Carr mic'd up. That's on the Benji Marshall show. I don't watch the whole show. I just look out for the mic'ing up parts. Fascinating.
What it says in this article too that the deal is reported to have blindsided some of the code's biggest figures, including Brisbane Broncos chair Carl Morris, Sydney Roosters chairman Nick Politis, and South Sydney chairman Nick Pappas. What have they got to do with it? Why has it blindsided them?
Oh, I don't know.
Did they want to get their grubby little fingers into it as well?
They want to get into the Brisbane market as well, do they? I don't know. What's that about?
Does everything have to be run past those three big end of town clubs, does it?
Is that just journos just bloody muckraking, I think?
I don't know.
Just saying, Nick Politis has got a bloody problem with it. And they're not actually saying what his problem is or whether he actually did have a problem or not.
I think it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's on that strip, isn't it? Bloody hell. Famous.
Well, NRL's got plenty of money in the bank. They might as well do something with it. Hotels are property. If Monopoly's taught us anything, hotels are bloody good investments.
Well, it's a better investment than bloody crypto. As long as there's not any stories about him investing heavily in cryptocurrency, like all the kids. Lucky it's run by boomers.
While we're north of the border, let's explore the situation developed earlier this week with Chance Nickel-Klux. I don't know if it's all related, but it seems to be to me. Is Chance Nickel-Klux star has decided to leave the Raiders and go back home to be with his family in New Zealand. And good luck to you, Chansey. You've been a
wonderful,
terrific servant for the Raiders. But it seems to have created a bit of a domino effect with Reece Walsh leaving to go to the Broncos. And there was a report during the week that the Dolphins, because the criteria behind the release from the Warriors was that he could only go to the Broncos, wasn't allowed to go anywhere else. Apparently the Dolphins were furious and got on the phone to the NRL this week asking why there was like a bit of a restriction of trade there and why they were allowed to put that clause in the release contract. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a huge knock-on effect, and I think from what I've read, Chance is going back because he's got a couple of young sons in New Zealand, and so I don't know whether his relationship has broken down and they live with the mother over in New Zealand, because apparently that's behind Reece Walsh wanting out of the Warriors because he's had a relationship breakdown and he wants to go back to Australia. So
yeah, but should
there's should oh but should they okay back to your question yeah. sorry not answering your question well I think if you're letting go a player and you're letting him go early, which I think Reece Walsh contracted for next year or not,
yeah, that's what hence the release.
Yeah, well, I think if you're releasing him, then you can put whatever bloody whatever you want on it, as long as the player abides by it. If they say no, well, I'm not going to abide by that, well then no deal. It doesn't matter that they're singling out the Dolphins. What if they singled out, you can go back, but you can't go to North Queensland? Would Todd Payton and et al. Have a problem with that?
No, I can't see a problem at all. I kind of get why the Dolphins are up in arms about it, because they rightfully should be panicking. Let's have a look at their squad.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see the Dolphins. Anyway, because the Dolphins are trying to raid everyone. Seems like Penrith is their latest target. They've been raiding Penrith and taking all of their good players, and then Wayne Bennett came out and said, oh, well, you're at the top of the heap, you should expect to get raided. And then when they bloody can't get the player that they want, they start sooking. So stuff the Dolphins.
No, I think that any team should be prepared to be raided, but whether they want to go to the Dolphins or not is another question. Like, Reece Walsh probably didn't. It's kind of like the Olakau'atu, I don't want to play for New South Wales, and he wasn't even going to get picked. I don't think Reece was going to go to the Dolphins anyway.
No.
Anyway,
why would you want to? Have a read out their side for us.
This is their likely team for next year. Jermaine Asako, Edric Lee, Brenko Lee, Ewan Aiken, Robert Jennings, Isaiah Katoa, Sean O'Sullivan, whose father is the recruitment manager, I might add, Mark Nichols, Jeremy Marshall-King, Jesse Bromwich, Kenny Bromwich, Felice Kafusi, Ray Stone, Tom Gilbert, Jared Wallace, Connolly, I can't say this bloke's name, Connolly. That's an awful team, let's be honest.
Maybe 3 years ago it might have been all right.
Nosey Nichols, old feed. One of the Bromwich brothers, I don't know which one, but one of them's usually okay. Ray Stone, after his heroics before he did his ACL, I'll take him as well, but the rest of them, she's pretty bloody thin.
Pretty thin. Well, they were banking on getting superstars, weren't they?
Oh, and JMK, he's all right, Jeremy.
Oh, he's okay.
Well, they waltzed into the comp thinking that, you're right, they were going to get Cameron Munster, Reed Marnie, bloody Reece Walsh, Kalen Ponga. They had all of these hot targets on their radar and they didn't get a single one of them.
So which one of those blokes there are they paying $800,000 to?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know.
Who's their marquee? They don't have any marquee players and I suppose they must have heaps of money left over to buy a Munster or someone, but no one's available.
I'd say one of the Bromwich brothers or both would be on... good
600?
I'd say like 800.
Really? Yeah. Overs. So, I don't know.
They're probably planned.
And of course, the Storm came out and held a press conference saying that Cameron Munster was going to stay. What sort of pressure were they getting from everywhere to hold a standalone press conference to announce that some bloke's honouring the rest of his contract?
Well, that's Braith. Anyway.
Oh, okay. It all comes back to bloody Braith again, doesn't it? Geez, I don't know. Well, Branko Lee's okay. I don't mind him.
but like I said,
3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, these blokes are all at the end of their, they're coming towards the end of their contracts or they're really, really green and untested.
I'm finding it hard to care about the Dolphins because Wayne Bennett just continues to annoy me. He waltzes around everywhere thinking he's the king of rugby league and... I mean, he's got the runs on the board, but that doesn't...
He's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
He's a hypocrite. Like I said, he's whinging about the bloody... Like, the clauses saying that they can't go to the Dolphins, but then on the other hand goes and raids every other bloody team.
You know who'd be licking their lips in delight is Benny Eichen at the Broncos. Just he'd be loving every second of this because they famously don't get on.
Well, he's his father-in-law, or ex-father-in-law, or current father-in-law?
No, Benny's still married to Wayne's daughter. But Wayne and his daughter are estranged after he took off with the young cougar and dumped his long-time missus.
With that piece.
Yeah.
With his side piece.
Well, he's a piece.
He is a piece of work, isn't he?
As far as I'm concerned. Mm. Brian To'o from the New South Wales Powder Blues decided this week that he didn't want to play for Australia and pledged his allegiance to Samoa. And the regular types were up in arms about this, saying that Brian, if he just chooses to play for New South Wales, then he should be an automatic candidate to be picked in the Kangaroos squad. What do you think about this?
It's happened before, hasn't it?
I don't know.
Where someone from Origin's gone on to play for Tonga a bit, but I think that might be... because they weren't picked for Australia. You know, it might be the same kind of thing where we saw, who was it, Katoni Staggs, I think, went out and played for his country right, because he didn't get picked for New South Wales. But this is an interesting one because To'o probably would get picked for Australia, wouldn't he? I would say.
Who are the wing? Who you got? You got
him or you got Selwyn Cobbo or you got the young kid from the Cowboys. What's Murray Tuolungi or the other winger would be whoever plays for New South Wales on the wing. Who's that?
I can't bloody remember.
Who plays out there on the other side?
Anyway, you're probably right. He probably would get picked, but he's saying that he's not available. And I think that's absolutely fair enough.
Yeah. So he should be able to play for his cultural country, I suppose.
Well, it's good for the international game,
isn't it?
Absolutely
it is.
We don't want to... Nobody wants to watch a test match, Australia versus Samoa or Tonga, where you know it's going to be... I mean, I know that recent results have said otherwise, and Australia have been beaten in international games, but let's face it...
That's good for the game too. I like getting Australia getting beaten.
Exactly, and that's what I mean. But I'm saying that Australia is still the dominant force in international rugby league, and they're favourites for every tournament or test match they ever play. So, yeah, it's good. I think it's great, and anybody should be allowed to play for any country they like. I'm getting really tired of this, of State of... I mean... Back in the old days, State of Origin was the pinnacle of the game because it was the hardest, toughest game. Test matches were very much you had your kangaroo tours to the UK that were always closely followed, but the rest of the international game was not, the occasional Kiwi test here and there, but it wasn't anything like it is today. So State of Origin was put up on this pedestal and was the pinnacle of rugby league, but I don't think it should be anymore. I mean, it's a great competition to have domestically, but what good does it do for the international game? Zero, right?
Well, and hopefully by blokes like Toto sticking their hand up and saying they want to play for one of the minnow nations, it might help some of them, you know, to go over. But I'm sure it's happened before. I'm sure it's happened before.
I don't think it has in that in this instance.
In this instance, where he would have got picked. Oh, so who's the other? Oh, the other winger is Daniel Tupou. So it's not like Australia's short on wingers. And it's like a crisis where we've got no wingers and Toto's screwing them over because he's going to Samoa. Come on.
No, exactly. I want to see, and I think the general rugby league public want to see international rugby league become the pinnacle again, as it was pre-1980. You know, the thing that kids aspire to be, a kangaroo rather than a bloody powder blue or a maroon.
Well, or a kangaroo, or you want to play for the Cook Islands, or you want to play for New Zealand, or whoever, your country that you hail from.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
And it'll grow the game internationally, which is what they're always banging on about.
Yeah, we'll take on rugby a bit.
Well, rugby's dead in the water, so what better time to strike?
Exactly.
There was about 20,000 people out at Optus Stadium to watch that test match last weekend. I didn't even know it was on. I probably would have gone.
It was on. Oh, yeah, I was thinking about going, but it was because I went to the Origin before, but it looked like a healthy-ish kind of crowd. And there was a lot of the players interviewed afterwards saying what a great venue it was. Blue, it's all for you. It's all for you.
And you know it. Powder Blue. I watched Muriel's Wedding again last night. I reckon that might be the 25th time I've seen that movie.
Holds up okay, doesn't it?
Oh, does it what?
God, Bill Hunter. Bill Hunter's incredible in it.
I read an interesting theory about it on Twitter, and somebody said that the whole film is about Betty, the wife.
The wife, Bill Hunter's wife, yeah. Muriel's mother.
Yeah. And I'm watching it last night, I paid more attention to her, and I don't think they're 100% right, but man, she's a tragic figure.
Oh yeah, so sad.
When she
so sad.
Yeah, and when she
she's got all them useless kids.
And right at the start when Joni says that Dad wants a cup of tea, and she just gets it, like runs a cold cup of water out of the tap and puts a tea bag in it and puts it in the microwave and just stares at it. It's pretty bloody heartbreaking.
Australian films are a lot smarter than what people give them credit for, I think.
Still,
that's one of them.
Yeah, and it's got some very funny moments in it, but it's got a lot of tragic, heartbreaking moments. But still the funniest is when Perry's kicking that milk carton around the backyard. Heslop goes himself.
Is that the bit where Bill Hunter yells at him?
Yeah, he stands looking at him for a while, then he opens the door and he goes, Perry, wake up to yourself. He slams it, and then Perry looks at him, and then just keeps kicking it over the clothesline.
Jesus. Anyway,
State of Origin. In a weird bloody series of events, it turns out I've been rostered on to play the hits at the Pearl Room again on fucking Wednesday.
On Wednesday night, how's this keep happening? Of all the musos in Perth, they pick the one that follows
exactly.
Rugby league.
Exactly. It's like they're conspiring against me. So
Chris
I'm
Murphy,
miss it.
Come on, Chris. Come and help a brother out. You don't like rugby league, Chris.
I'll tell you what.
Come
I
on, mate.
I nearly cancelled.
James Wilson, somebody. Come on, fellas.
James, I think James got rissoled from the casino. Or he did.
No, he wouldn't do it. He's too busy.
Oh, is he too busy?
Lucrative.
But who doesn't want to do a soft gig at the casino on a Wednesday night for heaps of money?
State of Origin night, and it's not even in Perth this
time. Well, I had to play the last one. Ridiculous. Anyway, I'm going to miss it, but I'll watch it and try and go.
Are you right, mate? Jesus Christ. Well, you didn't, bloody...
you didn't have any studio water available, so I've had to go and get it out of the bathroom tap, and maybe it's making me burp. It's an inferior quality of water.
No, why I'm in charge of water. I'm in charge of production. Look at me on the bloody twiddling knobs and stuff here as we go. Buying headphones. Are you right? Buying headphone hooks. Oh, now you're smoking bongs. Good one.
Does sound like a bong, doesn't it?
Hey, I saw a really, while you're just having your water, I saw a really good picture of Stephen Perkins, who's a drummer out of Jane's Addiction, back in the day, probably in the early 90s, and he's smoking this huge bong with this big, twirly, big pipe going up, and they've mic'd him up. So I don't know what song that's on, but I might have a listen to Jane's Addiction later and see if I can hear someone.
There's heaps of songs with bong rips on them. Really? There's a, yeah, the famous, the most famous, well, my most famous one is Shake Your Rump by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, listen to the Beastie Boys.
Well, you should. And Frankie Goes to Hollywood. New South Wales, James Tedesco, fullback Brian winger and Daniel Tupou survive. Matt Burton, Stephen Crichton. A little bit controversial here. Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary, the halves, of course. Now, the props, Jake Trbojevic, who did a good job in Game 2, reportedly, and Jordan McLean came from the clouds to be selected to run on for the Powder Blues. Appy Coruscant. I'm not saying it like Andrew Moore. I'm just going to keep saying Coruscant. Cameron Murray, Liam Martin and Isaiah Yeo, the back row, Damien Cook, Angus Crichton, Junior Parlour, and Talakai survives to be number 17. The big losers in all this, of course, Jack Whiten from the Raiders left out. Nico Hines got COVID, so he's not on the bench, and they brought in Chad Townsend.
Saw that. Chad Townsend's a big inclusion.
But, of course, Payne Haas is out with injury, so Jordan McLean took his spot. And that's, what do you think about that?
Well, I think the big loser in this, in all of this, is Regan Campbell-Gillard. I think he's very hardly done by. I thought he was really good in the first game. Well, he's one of their best, I thought. And so they've just dumped him ceremoniously.
Who else have they got available prop-wise?
Oh, I don't know. The Bromwiches, Saifidi? I suppose. Or, yeah, Saifidi.
What about David Clemmer? What has he done wrong?
Clemmer, you know, he played good the other day. And I hate to say it, bloody Aaron Woods. Jesus, well, they bloody, they got heaps of props.
Against the Raiders, though. I'd play good against the Raiders.
Heaps of props. So, Jordan McLean doesn't look out of place.
I think he does. I haven't noticed him all year. I don't know how he, I know he's played before, but.
Oh, has he? I thought he was a debutant.
No, he's played, well, he's been at least been in the squad before, I know, because I remember thinking that's weird.
Oh, no, I think he'll go good.
For the Maroons, Kalen Ponga, Selwyn Cobbo, Val Holmes, Dane Gagai and Murray Tuolungi, the back line as per last game. Munster and Cherry Evans in the halves. Collins Hunt, Papali'i survive somehow to keep his prop spot. Kurt Capel, Jeremiah Nanai and Tino Fa'asua Mala'awi is the lock. Harry Grant, Jai Arrow, Patrick Carrigan and Tom Gilbert is the debutant in number 17. What do you think about the Maroons?
No for feeder. Anywhere.
No for feeder.
That's puzzling. I would have had him in there somewhere.
No way.
You don't reckon?
Not on current form.
Well, how do you have Papali'i in there on current form?
Well, yeah, that's
form?
A good point.
Like on club form and Queensland form. But then again, he's only been getting 20-something minutes a game.
Yeah, but there's a reason for it, isn't there?
Yeah, he looks a bit heavy and a bit disinterested. And, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's having problems somewhere. I don't know. And Jack Whiten, he 100% does not deserve to get picked. He's been playing terribly. And if any his game on the weekend is any form to go by, then he'll never get picked again for any bloody side.
Well, the people are complaining about Whiten being left out because of his
heroics in first game.
Yeah, but fuck, if you can't name up for your club, then you don't deserve to get picked for. Egg. You can't just waltz in and play a blinder for New South Wales and then go back and be a plonker.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hear that, Jack?
Well, yeah. And is it. If any other coach had bloody put him into reserves and put Frawley in. Well, not any other coach, because look, bloody Luke Brooks has never been dropped, but. Yeah, geez, I don't know, running my eye over this. I don't know who's going to win. Who'd know? Bit it's in Queensland. Who'd know? Who'd know? It's pretty much the same side that New South Wales trotted out where they flogged them, so who'd know?
There's a couple of in doubt for Queensland. Kalen Ponga has passed all his concussion protocols, and he'll probably play. Cameron Munster still under a cloud with a shoulder injury, but he's getting precautionary treatment from the team physio. Ponga missed that game last week, of course, but apparently he's fine and he's training as normal. Jeremiah Nanai, he comes into the starting side because Kafusi's out. He's gone to America to be with his dad, who's crook.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom Gilbert, as I said, makes his debut from the bench. And there's a extended bench of Hamiso Tabuai Fadou, and Sam Walker, for some reason, has been added to the extended squad. Cowboys prop Jordan McLean, as we said, makes his debut for the... Oh, you're right. He does make his debut for the Powder Blues. But he has definitely been in the squad before. Yeah. Oh, he played for the Kangaroos. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway.
Did he come over from the Cowboys from the Storm?
He was with the Storm when he did that tackle on... what's his name? That put him in the wheelchair.
Oh, McKinnon. Yeah, that's right. So that might have been when he was in and amongst it. But he hasn't been now. But I suppose all the form of the Cowboys has got him included.
Blues extended bench has got Gutherson and Nico Hines, as I said, is out with COVID. So Chad Townsend came in. I don't know where they slot him in if they need him. But Jacob Saifidi and Cowboys hooker Reece Robson has also been added to the extended bench.
That's fair enough. That's good. Like, he's been playing good. More Cowboys the better, I reckon. They're second on the bloody ladder, for God's sake. So why shouldn't they be in there?
Tip-wise, I've got to say... Oh, Suncorp.
I got no idea.
Well, they got flogged so badly in game two, it makes you hesitant to tip them. But I think in at Suncorp, yeah, I don't know. There's a couple of clouds. Like, can they win? Can they win without Munster?
Oh well,
if he because he turned it up
in that second
game. No, he did nothing.
Nothing. The first game, he was the best player anyone had ever seen, so who knows?
Are we calling Munster a flat tracker?
But then the second game, Cleary was the best bloody player anyone's ever seen, so who knows who's going to turn up? Which Nathan Cleary's going to turn up? That's probably a better question.
There hasn't been any scuttlebutt around. There's been no harsh words from either team, as the Fox Sports crew want these days. A bit of bloody...
They're all too good of friends.
Mm.
Patting each other on the date.
I'm going Queensland.
Are you? Yeah. Don't know. New South Wales, there you go.
Powder blue, the seventh son of Orion, with me too. Oh, powder blue, how do you do?
That does sound like a Tui's ad.
Yeah.
That'd be a good Tui's ad. They could come out with a new Tui's powder blue. It tastes like powder. Dry? You want a dry beer? This is the driest beer ever. It's not even liquid. Big mouth full of powder to cool you down after a hard day's being a mechanic.
Sea Eagles 36 defeated the Storm last...
Oh, we're getting into the thing, are we, already? Haven't we spoken about all the issues? There's heaps
we'll
more
get to
issues.
The issues. Oh, we get to the issues as we're talking about the games.
Oh, okay.
That's our current format.
Well, hang on. Let me tick. I've got a list here. Let me tick it off. Chad Townsend Blues. Oh, okay. Yeah, so I've got a bit to talk about the Tigers. Atrocious conditions. Yeah, okay, cool. We can do that in the games.
Sea Eagles 36, Storm 30. We both tipped the Storm.
Well,
any reasonable rugby league fan
would do. As I recall saying that if Manly were ever going to beat the Storm, it would be that week, and it was that week.
Well, you could say that about any game, couldn't you?
Well, I had a feeling, and I should have gone with my guts. I had a feeling.
But you never.
But... Yeah, I went for the silly old Storm. They got beaten by one try.
Well, it should have been 36-6 or something, because the Storm came home with four tries, I think, in the last 5 minutes. And Manly took their foot off the gas, as they did a couple of weeks ago against the Cowboys when they got pipped. But this time they hung on.
Four tries in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, a bit worrying for Desi's men.
Well, yeah, they just took the foot off the gas, and a bit worrying more so for Craig Bellamy's men. And apparently Brandon Smith reckons they got the worst spray they've ever had.
I couldn't give a fuck what Brandon Smith says about anything. Fuck, he's annoying.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Oh.
He's going to fit right in at the Roosters, isn't he?
Oh, he's so annoying.
Oh, Jesus.
Go away.
Now, nobody... I haven't liked him the whole time. Little smart ass, and he's a drug addict.
Oh, actually, I must admit, I remember when he first came in, and I thought, man, this kid's good, because
he was fearless.
He was
a good player, and he'd be barreling into bloody front rowers and stuff, and then now he's a bloody personality. They have him on the show every 2 seconds on bloody Hindy's show, and that's what happens with these kids. They turn into dickheads. They've already got that dickhead about them. And then they just turn into massive dickheads because these other dickheads have them on the bloody couch every 2 seconds.
38-12, the Knights flogged the poor old Titans.
Jesus Christ, the Titans. And there's plenty of talk that they're going to use the bye weekend to get rid of Holbrook. Because apparently the high-performance bloke that they sacked is Holbrook's best mate. And why, so the writing's been on the wall.
So they're going to get 2 points and say, and like, is that a rub it into the...
Well, you'd think it'd take a little while to get rid of a coach, you know. You'd have that extra week to get your ducks in a row. Line up your assistant coach. Who's that going to be?
Interim
coach, sorry?
I rarely feel sorry for sacked coaches. Well, I did for Madge, but I didn't for Brownie or any of the past sackings in recent years. But I feel a bit bad for Holbrook because I think he's a good coach. Because they did get to the... With. Yeah, they've got... Like, nobody gives a shit in that team. They're just
awful. They got to the finals last... Was it last year or the year before where they were one pass away from... Going to the preliminary.
I suppose that is his fault, though. If he can't get through to them somehow to play for what they're like, do what they're paid for, then I suppose it's all on him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. But I do feel bad. How long's he been there for? So who was before him? Neil Henry?
No.
What's his name?
Cartwright, wasn't it?
Brennan? No. What was his name?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That weird looking fella.
Yeah. So
Garth haven't. Brennan. Garth. Yeah.
So it's not like they've had any real superstar kind of coaches. Maybe they'll get Neil Henry back. I don't know.
I doubt it. I think some bridges were burned with Neil. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's the other thing. Seems like a bit of a shambles of an organisation, really.
Dricky Lee with 5 tries. Dominic Young with 3. The wingers starring for the
8
Knights.
8 tries amongst them.
Yeah. So
for Newcastle. What a blowout with no Kalyn Ponga. If ever the Titans were going to win a game, it's this, right?
No, not really. The Knights, when you look at the Knights team on paper, they're pretty bloody strong. Dominic Young's a bloody fantastic winger. I reckon he's one of the best wingers in the comp.
It's taken him a little while to find his feet.
Dominic Young? Yeah. He's 19.
What are you talking about? But that's what I mean. He's like it's taken him a few games to get good.
Well, he's 19.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, come on, mate.
If you're old enough, you're good enough.
He's fantastic, and I don't think it's taken him any time to find his feet. He's only
in his second year.
A
couple of pretty...
He's in the Knights.
Come on, mate.
He plays for the Knights.
Fantastic. Well, I put it up on the group chat that 8 tries amongst 2 of the most average wingers ever, and then everyone's bloody, into me. No, they're superstars.
No, nobody said that. They just said, what are you talking about?
8 tries between Edric Lee and Dominic Young. That's what I was talking about. 8.
Anyway, I tipped the Titans, so...
Did you? Who'd I tip?
Shame on me once, fool me again. You tipped the Titans, 1 for you. Panthers 26 defeated the Roosters 18.
Gee, well, now,
controversy.
We're going to talk about this, and I don't care if anyone's sitting at home going, oh, we've heard enough about it, but this is a new, fresh take on this refereeing crisis. You want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
No, you're prepared.
Well, it was a shocking call. The call that they're all talking about, the tackle... was a shocking call. There's no way that was a dangerous tackle. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so all the Roosters fans are up in arms about every other call, as they usually are. I couldn't see anything else that was too bad. And I'm sure there's going to be Roosters fans there clutching their pearls and wringing out their bloody cashmere sweaters and carrying on. But I couldn't see anything else that was shocking. That was one call, and yes, it let in a try. Whoop, hang on.
Well, I agree.
It led directly to kick out going over.
It did not lead directly to kick out going over.
But that's what they're saying.
It was about 4 or 5 plays later. It was the next set, but they were halfway down the field. It wasn't as if they
I can understand. I hate it when people get those piggyback, when teams get those piggyback penalties for not much, you know, like not much. But this was a shocking call.
Yeah, but it's just one mistake in the context of a game. And if you watch it, Jared Sutton's, and I'm no fan of Jared Sutton or any referee, to be honest, apart from that terrific ranger. But he's right behind it. He sees a player flip over and get a tiny bit past the horizontal and go into the ground. He calls it wrong. Everybody knows it was wrong, but just fucking move on. Jared Sutton that missed Viliami Kikau just strolling straight through the middle of the Roosters' defence.
Well, you've got to
defend your errors, and whether it's your own error or a referee error, you defend them.
I can understand people, though, dropping their lip a bit and getting distracted. Because what they get distracted. There you go. They get distracted and their mind's not on the job for the next couple of plays because that's all they can think about.
Yeah, but they're professional rugby league players and they should be able to.
They're still kids, though, like in their head. There's plenty of people saying, what's that stat saying that Sutton's doled out 200 more penalties against the Roosters than any other team? So there's this huge conspiracy going on about Sutton and how he shouldn't be allowed to referee the Roosters.
Well, he's only refereed them 10 times and they've won, I think, only 27% or something or whatever it is or maybe it's 11 times, I don't know. But they've all been most, because you think about it, he's been considered the top referee for a few years now. So he only gets the big games and the Roosters playing Penrith, the Storm, all the big clubs, and so they've been beaten probably, you know, as predicted by the bigger clubs in the last couple of years because the Roosters have kind of been on a bit of a downturn. So they, like, you can bring up a stat to prove anything as we talk about, but I don't.
As our eagle-eyed observer Drew said, maybe he's the only one that's actually refereeing the Roosters properly.
Well, they are.
I tend to agree with him.
They're constantly offside. A lot of clubs are. It's not just them, but yeah, he's had a gut full of them getting away with it all the time. Maybe he is a little bit biased against them. Who knows?
But yeah, he's one of the better referees, and so he actually referees them properly.
Well, but he did referee the 2019 Grand Final and overruled Ben Cummins on that famous sixth again. So you can't really say that he's got a vendetta against the Roosters.
No, because he pretty much handed him a Grand Final. Well, no, I'll never forget it.
He didn't do that either.
Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that because I'm sick of people saying, oh, they had their fucking opportunities to win.
Well, they did. I'm going to refute that.
And we're going to talk about it in one of the other games because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing about it. Oh, Canberra Raiders, bloody, should have won that grand final if bloody BJ Lalu had a pass.
The Roosters also had a try given to Sam Verrills that I don't think was a try. I think he dropped it over the line and the bunker looked at it and decided, but nobody's talking about that because the Panthers won. I guarantee if the Roosters had a won by 2 points or 4 points, they would have been... The Panthers fans would have been screaming about that Verrills try because it wasn't a try. But anyway, let's move on.
Has Trent Robinson been fined? Because he accused that's the biggest talking point out of all of this, is that why didn't he get fined? I thought the moment you said anything, even if you're right.
Because they went softly with him because they admitted that the call was wrong. But I can't understand why everybody's singling out that single wrong call that it wasn't a sin bin. It wasn't anything. It was just a regular run-of-the-mill penalty that gave him, admittedly, a piggyback a bit down the field and they scored off the back of it. Do you think if the Roosters get the penalty, they kick into touch and drop it on the first tackle, do you think anybody's saying anything about it at all? Even if they did lose?
Well, that's a fair point that they scored off it. Yeah, but like if the play,
that's
the play
the
directly
fault.
Off it. Yeah, but I can understand how that's so distracting. That call was so bad and so distracting why they weren't 100%
it doesn't matter the severity,
minds on the footy.
The severity of the wrongness of it, if that is a term, doesn't even come into... Like, any call in any game is wrong... It's wrong if it's wrong. It doesn't matter if it was
okay.
A penalty's a penalty.
If I was a player and I saw such a howler, it'd definitely distract me from what I was doing.
Well, that'd make you a non-professional footballer.
Well, it makes all the Roosters non-professional because it distracted every single one of them and they didn't let Kikau stroll over. I don't believe that at all.
They've been letting teams run through the guts all year. It's on their defence. It's not on Jared Sutton. He made a mistake. He got dropped this week. Every other ref in the comp made a mistake this week. I guarantee it. Every single game, every single ref made a mistake.
That's
and whether
a good
it led
point.
To a try, whether it led to a sin bin, whether it led to anything, is that's why I don't whinge about the refs anymore, because they all make mistakes. And how the team deals with it, I mean, obviously, if there's going to be 10 penalties in a row for nitpicky little bullshit things, then you kind of got a problem then. But if you make a single mistake in a game like that, and admittedly it was a howler, fucking move on. I'm so sick of the referee whinging. I'm sick of it. It's fucking infuriating. That's all anybody ever talks about. See, and then Trent's team gets off the hook because their defense is shit, because everybody's saying that they lost by 8 points because of a single fucking bad call.
Well, see,
give me a break.
But this was my thing about it, is it wasn't close. It wasn't like the other one that we're going to talk about. It wasn't close.
Yeah,
it wasn't close enough.
On that.
Well, I'm interested to hear what your differing opinion is, because I'm sure we've got a differing opinion on this.
All right. Okay, let's move on.
Right, so let's move on.
Sharks 18 beat the Bulldogs 6 at Sydney on heavy, heavy conditions.
Atrocious conditions. Jesus Christ. How bad's it got to be before something gets called off? I know.
They called off the Reggies.
Yeah, the Reggies, and they did that in the Saints and Dragons, the fixtures before that they called off too, because it was too bad.
The Bulldogs put up a bit of a fight here, but they just weren't good enough, and they just can't. I don't know. They don't seem to me. The Bulldogs don't seem, their defense doesn't slide.
Yeah.
Well,
so
but I mean, in these
conditions,
yeah,
how
but,
do you do anything?
But the Sharks had to do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they coped better than the Bulldogs. To me, just still look like they're just lacking that little bit of. I mean, I know they're well down the bottom of the table, but they have been on the improve. But they're still lacking that little bit of discipline, I think it is, to work as a team and sliding. Like, because Mulatalo just, I mean, he didn't stroll over, but it was a pretty easy try, that first one to him, and then Katoa, the other one, and Nakora just waltzed straight through the guts.
Yeah, well, you're right. So they missed 38 tackles, and the Sharks broke the line 5 times. So, yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't.
Can't win games like that, but how do you train for that? How do you train for those conditions? Like, it's like running in quicksand, right?
Yeah, but it's the same mentality. Like, if you're all on the same page and moving together. You watch the good teams like Penrith and how their defensive line slides and adapts and goes up and comes back and that kind of thing. The Bulldogs, to me, just a higgledy-piggledy at the moment. Cowboys 40 defeated the Broncos 26 in an entertaining affair at Townsville in dry conditions. So very entertaining game of footy this. And Val Holmes, for me, was the standout with his radar-like boot.
Oh, yeah. How many? 6 conversions?
Eight goals. 8 from 8.
Oh, and you got a couple of penalty goals as well. Yeah, he's a tremendous kicker. And Broncos looked a bit out of it. I don't know. They just didn't look good at all. Adam Reynolds had a shocker.
Reynolds was, well, talking about your distraction theory and leading you to play bad. I think Reno had such a bad first 10, 15 minutes that all the Broncos might have got themselves into a tiz and thought, oh no, we're going to have to do something ourselves here instead of relying on Adam to...
Well, how do you come back from a rib injury so early? Like, surely ribs has got to be one of the worst injuries for a playmaker, like trying to pass while you're smarting. And I know they probably needled him up and strapped him up and everything, but Jesus,
he
can't be 100%, right?
Oh.
He labelled his own performance embarrassing.
Well, it was.
It wasn't good.
For a player of his standards.
Yeah, well, he's injured for sure. Have to be. But no, not taking anything from the Cowboys. They're looking good. Jeez.
Rabbitohs 30 defeated the Eels 12 in a bit of an upset, I would say. We both tipped the Eels, of course.
Did we?
Yeah.
And this is Latrell's big comeback match. He made 2 runs in the first half. 2.
Well, that's his standard. That's what he does every week. But it didn't stop everyone from praising him up.
Yeah, everyone's saying they pretty much Latrell single-handedly won him this game. Well, he made 2 runs for 4 metres or something in the first half.
But he was pretty good, I must admit.
Second half he was good.
Yeah. He did, he warmed into it. He was pretty good. But what do you think of when he ruled himself out of Origin at the end of the game and everybody's up in arms saying you can't do that?
I'm okay with that. Why? He doesn't have to play Origin. He probably wasn't going to get picked anyway. So
well,
he's just taking it out of the. He's just taking that off the table. And Well,
no, under the rules, you have to make
yourself available. Do
yeah,
you?
But I mean, you can easily get out of it by saying that you've remember all those pre-season things when I think even the All-Stars games and that were affected for a while, where they'd pick the team and then all of a sudden, I remember distinctly, it was either Gasnier or Cooper from the Dragons would get picked for these pre-season kind of meaningless games and get to develop a mystery, you know, quad injury or something like that. It used to happen all the time. So it's easy to get out of. You just say, oh, no, me bloody, I've got a crook bicep, mate. Biceps. Did you know a bicep, there's no such thing as a bicep?
Biceps.
Yeah. One bicep is a biceps.
Who is it that injured their biceps? Oh, Remus. Poor old Remus Smith. He injured his
anyway,
biceps.
I don't think it's a big deal.
No.
I think they would have picked him.
Oh, you think?
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe what, whereabouts in the centres instead of Crichton?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it probably would have made a bit of sense, I suppose. But then Jack's played there as well, so, yeah.
I think
he was a real lucky one, Crichton, keeping his spot, because I don't think he was very good in that second game at all.
Yeah, but he's been better for Penrith than Jack has been for Canberra.
Oh, absolutely. But how can you... Latrell's been out for 12 weeks. So
yeah, but he's a favourite, isn't he?
But so is Jack, I suppose. So in the New South Wales arena.
Alex Johnson continues to pile on the tries, and I think he's gone past somebody else now as far as the all-time leading try scorers go. He's well in front of the Souths.
Yeah,
what a player he is.
He went past someone weird. Some old-timey type.
Benny Hinn or someone like that. good win for the Rabbitohs. They've been on a bit of a free-fall lately.
That. Yeah, needed that, definitely. And what's happening with the Eels? It's as tale as old as time. Or, well, as old as the 80s anyway.
Well, there's a bloke under pressure at the moment. I read Brad Arthur. He's a genius at getting himself under pressure and then getting out of it somehow.
Well, because he gets himself out of pressure in the first half of the season, then gets himself back under it in the second half because
they were awful. Jesus, they were bad.
Oh.
Terrible.
And they're escaping plenty of scrutiny.
Heavy conditions, though.
Yeah.
How do you train for it? The Warriors in their homecoming, Mount Smart, Auckland, wonderful scenes there. Just the packed Mount Smart Stadium. It's a beautiful looking place with the grassy little entrance areas and stuff.
And that little rickety bridge that goes down to the ground and everything.
Yeah.
I haven't been to that stadium. I really want to go there one day.
Tahu Harris opened the scoring with Chanel Harris-Davida and Jesse Arthurs all with tries. Tigers kicked a penalty goal right on half time, and that was it for them. And the Warriors strolled home in a canter, really, and a bit of more soul searching to be done at the Tigers.
Well, there's talk coming out that Adam Dewey has put his hand up and said, if you don't pick me at number 6, then play me in New South Wales Cup. Did you read this?
Oh, I read a little bit about it. Some bullshit article, 6 or out or some such.
Yeah, I think he actually did say it because he's meant to be their best player. And last year, he's definitely their best player. And he's been injured, of course. And so I don't know whether he should just stroll back into the team at the expense of Luke Brooks. But they got to do something. They scored one penalty try.
Goal.
Against the bloody Warriors. Like, they got to do something, and Brooks is untouchable. Brooks has come out this week saying, oh, whoever's leaking these bloody, you know, that's just typical for the Tigers, leaking stories about me getting dropped and then didn't happen, see? So, there's something, like, they got to do something. Jesus, put bloody Dewey in and drop Brooks. Do what you said you were going to do in the press.
Don't
you think?
I'm out of answers. I don't know what to do with them.
Well, they're saying that bloody Tim Sheens is going to be the coach next year. Can you see that happening?
I can't see him going any worse than Noddy. Poor old Noddy. How about getting thrown into the deep end? Jesus Christ.
And then they wonder how they miss out on blokes like Seraldo and everything. Look at the shit show it is. And you got players coming out saying that, you know, and rightly so, saying pick me at 6 or don't pick me at all.
How about poor old Noddy? He would have been thinking, and a lovely fella too. He said g'day to me one day at Bruce.
Yeah, I saw him in the city once. He was pushing a pram around. He's got daughters, I think. He seems like
two lovely daughters.
He seems like a lovely fella.
About 3'6" he is.
Yeah, tiny. I don't know how he ever played.
But he would have been thinking, he would have been just in the back of his head thinking, you know, I've got a bloody chance here. If I can get 5 or 6 wins on the run home with the Tigers, they might bloody, you know, I might be able to look in for a nice plum $8.6 million job at the Tigers. But it vilifies Maggi, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it goes is that the right word?
Yeah,
vilify.
It goes to show you that it's not really up to the coaches, is it? It's all these players. Well, of course they always say, well, it's not the bloody coaches missing tackles, etc. But these blokes are not putting in for anyone. They weren't putting in for Madge, and now they're not putting in for Noddy. Who are they waiting for to put in for?
Yeah, and you've got blokes like Dewey, you know, making
threats.
Well, not threats, I suppose. It's ultimatums.
He's threatened them. And I tell you what, there's a home for you at the Raiders, Adam, if you want.
Adam who?
Dewey.
No.
Come on, mate.
Nah.
put Jacket back at bloody centre.
No, we've got the shoe man.
Oh, yeah. Frawls. Electric.
Well,
speaking of
dickhead rabble clubs, the Dragons 12 defeated the Raiders 10 in a very, how should we say,
heavy conditions.
Typhoonal.
Monsoonal.
Monsoonal, that's the one I was trying to
see those two bloody idiots sitting up on the hill.
Yeah, what were they doing up there?
They were there the whole game. I don't know. And, geez, it's not a real... If you're going to have monsoonal conditions at a ground, that's not the one because it's totally unprotected, isn't it, on that side there where the ocean is.
It was like they had a bet, you know, that they had to stand there the whole game. They're saying here the attendance was 7,069. Come on.
Dude.
There was 700 people there, if that.
That's, yeah, I know. Like, I've watched games at Bruce Stadium that were not quite, but almost like that. But, geez, I don't know if I would have been able to go to that. It was horrible conditions. I thought at one point they're going to have to call this. It was just, you couldn't see. Imagine like that rain driving into your eyes the whole game. Like,
yeah, it seemed to get worse in the second half and disadvantage the Dragons more than the Raiders in the first half, I thought.
It wasn't a very high quality game.
No, it was a terrible game.
The conditions definitely had something to do with that, apart from two pretty low sort of teams. But
let's hear your theory then. Come on, unload.
What followed here was a good 30 minutes of two blokes arguing about whether the Raiders were dudded or not. At the end of the day, we've edited it out because it served no purpose. Nothing's going to get done. I thought the Raiders were dudded. Ben didn't. So we'll leave that one out and we'll get back to our scheduled programming. Kind regards. And I'm not excusing the Raiders at all because they're a horrible football side. But they were dudded.
They were fucking not. Oh,
I'm
my
on
God.
Some fucking mean.
How can they be dudded? Fuck.
Powder blue. Powder blue.
Powder blue.
It's all for you.
It's all for you.
Round 17, we've forgotten about.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sharks versus Storm.
Nico Hines, Toby Rudolph are out after testing positive to COVID. Pardon me. Braden Trindle is a new halfback and Andrew Fifita in at prop. Jesus Christ. This tap water.
Bloody
the new man on the bench is Braden Hamlin-Ueli, who makes his return from pec injury, and Sia Sifa Talakai is on orange duty, so Connor Tracy comes into the centres. He's a better player than Talakai. Storm, no late changes. Dean Eremiah. I haven't heard his name for a while.
He hasn't been around for
he's
a
on
bit.
The wing, and Nick Meaney goes to 5'8". That'll be interesting. And Jaden Nikarima back to 18th man. Did poor old Jaden had the worst game anyone's ever had last week.
Did Munster play last week? He did, didn't he?
Yeah,
or
but
did
he
they
was
have Meaney?
Shit.
Yeah, he wasn't very good. So now Meaney's in at 6.
Brandon Smith at hooker and Josh King's the new lock, and Nelson Asafa Solomona starts at prop, and Karma Kamita back to the bench.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, I got 4. You got 3 last week. You started strong.
Jesus, I thought I got more than
you
that.
Got the last 4 wrong.
Ah, tipping the stupid Raiders. Not knowing they were going to get dudded.
You believe that too.
They did.
I can't
though.
Believe you believe that. Anyway. So I'm going, who's out again?
Munster isn't playing. Yeah, I don't know. Storm. Sharks haven't.
Storm rarely get beat twice in a row, do they?
Yeah, Storm for me. Storm.
Yeah, me too. God damn it. Only because I hate the Sharks. But geez, I hate the Storm too. Knights Rabbitohs. Is that tonight, that game? Yeah, it is. Oh, good.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I hate these bloody split rounds.
On Mondays and that, but then I can't watch games on Thursday because I'm training my own kids.
What about Origin move to the end of the year?
Yeah, it'd give you something to look forward to.
Wouldn't it? And you wouldn't have these stupid split rounds in the middle of the year. I hate it. And but the bye rounds, and yeah, it's going to get even worse.
Well, there's going to be a bye next year with the stupid Dolphins coming in. Why don't they just bring in one team? They should have brought in two so there's no byes.
Knights Rabbitohs, Jaden Brayley for the Knights has set the return from an Achilles injury. Haven't seen him for ages. And Bradman Best returns from an elbow injury, replacing Dane Gagai. And who's in the Origin team, of course. Tex Hoy again wears the number one because Pong is out with the Maroons. Jacob Saifidi's named on the bench but could be a late withdrawal because breaking news. Jordan McLean's been injured in Blues camp for the Powder Blues.
Oh.
So Jacob Saifidi might go in for him.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, what a... God, how... Jeez, that sucks.
Latrell Mitchell captains the Rabbitohs for the first time on Friday night with Cameron Murray on Origin duty, of course. Nosey Nichols has been named to take over at lock for Murray, but seems unlikely to play as he's still got concussion symptoms. After last week, he got a cop in the knock in the noggin, and his place could be taken by Daniel Saluka Fifita, who joined the club the neck puncher. He's the bloke that punched the bloke while he was lying flat on his face on the ground. Real class act is Saluka Fifita.
Well, that's why the Roosters must have got rid of him. No dickheads.
I'm going for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, it's hard to see the Knights win this.
I don't think they'll win another game all year.
Hmm.
They're terrible.
Yeah, I'm going Rabbitohs too. Wonder if Edric's...
He's my favourite ref, Todd Smith. Is in that one, the Ranger, with Ziggy on the sideline.
Ooh.
West Tigers versus Eels on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval. Skipper James Tamo returns from being a late withdrawal from Warriors game. He had a calf injury. Adam Dewey starts in the centre, so he won't be happy. I thought he said he was going to leave.
Well, I think that was after this week.
Jimmy Roberts is out somehow. And Justin Matamua will make his NRL debut.
Well, let me tell you about Justin. His uncle, Mike Matamua, is a mate of mine.
Well, there you go.
So Mike put up a big post saying, congratulations, Justin, first grade debut. It's his nephew. So I presume it's his brother's kid, Matamua. And go hard, Justin. I'll be watching. And
You'll be so on him, won't you?
So will Uncle Mike.
For the Eels, Junior Palo will be in Blues camp, so Marata Niokore steps into the starting side at prop and Ryan Madison returns at lock after missing round 16 with a rib injury. If he fails to return, Madison that is, Oregon Kafusi or Makahesi Makatoa could move into the run-on side with Nathan Brown joining the bench against his former club. And Clint Gutherson's part of Brad Freddie Fittler's extended New South Wales squad, but they'll let him go in time to take on the might of the Tigers.
Don't the Eels lose nothing in Origin time, do they? Paulo.
Because they don't get anyone picked.
Paulo, yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you'd think that Parramatta would probably have a few more in the team. Well, they probably should. Probably should have Regan Campbell-Gillard at least. Anyway, I'm going Parramatta here.
Oh, hard. I've got a bloody plum feeling about the
Tigers as well, but oh God, after last week, I can't tip them.
I'm going to do it. I'm well ahead. I'm going to Tigers. I can afford to drop one just for the sake of Maggie's old boys, and I love
them. Well, they might win because I did think about it, but I don't know.
Referee in that one is Chris Fat Chest Butler and Johnny Stone, one of the touchies. They only have a list one touch judge.
Oh, right.
It's like they...
No, they've got two here. Oh, no, they've got, no, senior review official, touch judge and referee.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. It's like they name one and then there might be a lottery for the other one or
something. Well, this game's Liam Kennedy, the one with the big brow. He's the touch judge in this next game.
For the last game Sunday, oh, I'll miss this one too. I'm working. God damn it.
Oh, I am too.
Tessie New for the Broncos takes over at fullback for Tame.
Well, he's a forgotten guy in all of this bloody roundabout, isn't he? I remember Tessie was the next big thing, but he got injured, did he?
We got hopeless.
Oh.
Kind of like kind of like Jermaine Asako.
Oh, yeah, right.
They kind of just get hopeless for no reason. It's weird. Yeah. But he takes over for Temare Martin, who might be off to the Warriors, I read.
Has he gone already?
No, no. He's injured. But he might be off to the Warriors next year in a package deal.
Yeah, that's what they said, that he's part of the deal if Reece Walsh goes. Fair enough.
Jordan Pereira comes in on the wing for Selwyn Cobbo, who's an Origin team. Keenan Palacia and Ryan James are the new props for Payne Haas and Corey Jensen, who are both out. Tyson Gamble on the bench with Corey Pye. For the Dragons, winger Matt Finau has been named to play despite hobbling with a knee injury on Sunday. He's expected to be right to go, and Tata Omoga, the world's worst player, and Jonathan Rubin have been both included in the reserves. Jaden Sullivan takes over at halfback in the only change to the side that beat the Raiders deservedly.
Wow. Broncos.
You know the Dragons have just been sneakily going really well.
How are they going so well? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it.
They've won heaps out of their last heaps.
And you know what? I don't like them. I don't like Jack Bird. I don't like Jack DeBellin. I don't like any of them. They're all a bunch of smart-ass idiots.
That's only because I would have said that before.
I don't like Moses Sully. Who likes Moses Sully?
He's all right.
Yeah, I don't like him. I don't like Lomax. I don't like any of them.
I like Cody Ramsey. I like Jaden Sullivan.
Smart. Cody Ramsey had rather a penalty than...
Moses Mbai is a terrific fella.
No,
Woodsy's not much of a bloke. Jaden Sewer, I like him.
I don't like him.
Blake Laurie is a bloody good prop.
Don't like any of them.
You're just salty. I'm going for the... where is it? Suncorp.
Broncos for me.
Ezra Mam. Oh, yeah, Adam Reynolds is still playing because they still won't pick him for the Blues.
Tyso Gamble's getting a run on the bench. Tyso.
He's nuts, that kid.
Yeah, I like him.
They should put in Deloise. Deloise Hoyter. What a good name. Yeah, all right. Storm, Rabbitohs, Tigers, Broncos for me. Storm, Rabbitohs, Para, Broncos for you.
Enjoy your football this weekend. I might put the whole exchange... separate podcasts, because this is going for about 1:50. Is everyone all right with 1:50?
No.
If you've gotten up this far, oh, I think people will enjoy it.
Maybe you could just cut out most of the bits where we repeated ourselves repeatedly.
Oh, I'm not going to go through all the footage, and people are just going to have to just lump it. It's good. It's good, robust discussion. Going round and round and round in circles about something that's never going to change.
Just a shame you were wrong for 95% of it.
Well, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But how do you know?
You said, if I'm wrong, I don't want to be right.
How do you know, though? There's no right or wrong in this. It's just the NRL versus everybody. That's how they want it. They want to bloody build hotels with Wally Lewis rooms in it. That's all they want to do.
It's got to center yourself, mate, and just let things go.
I have. And honestly, even after the game, I was like, well. But like I said, when the forum comes up to discuss these things, God damn it, I'm gonna discuss it.
Well, have a fantastic week, everybody, and keep the letters pouring in. I don't even know where you'd send them. Lockbag 600 in your capital city, I suppose. Put your name and address on the back of a self-steal. Remember when you stand at competitions?
Yeah. Hey, it's Saturday.
What did they say?
Stamp self-addressed envelope.
That's it. Stamp self-addressed envelope.
So they could send it back to you saying, sorry, you were unsuccessful.
Imagine doing that.
Because you live in Cowra and it's too far to post your prize. I'm sure that's what happened. They give it to the kids in Sydney.
Did you get dudded by Hey, It's Saturday?
Probably.
I remember I sent
it into something once.
I collected 20 Yogo lids once to get a set of spoke, you know, little spoke balls.
Spokey dokies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yogo ones. And I remember putting them in the envelope.
It wasn't even a competition, just a giveaway.
No,
right?
A giveaway, like a redemption thing. Yeah. 20 Yogo lids, and I saved them up, hid them in my room so you assholes wouldn't steal them off me. And then posted them away. Do you think I got my spokey dokies?
Of course not, because you lived in Cowra.
I'm still waiting.
Because you lived in Cowra, they wouldn't post stuff out that far, because that was back when postage cost a bit.
No, that was in Canberra.
Canberra. Well, there you go. Canberra to Sydney's even worse.
thanks
go
for listening.
Buy yourself a set of spokey dokies, mate, and put it on your new $8,000 bike that you probably bought on the weekend.
No, I'm not buying them myself. Yogo owe me a set, and I'm waiting for them. And if they don't show up, I'll just end up having to go down there and front them.
Well, if anyone from Yogo's gotten this far, do the right thing. Do better.
It's that about 38 years ago, I reckon.
They're probably sitting somewhere. They might be sitting in the lost mail department. If you ever become a postie, then have a look for it. Put in a claim. One set of spokey dokies from 1986.
It was a while ago. No, earlier. 84, I reckon I did that. Yogo, delicious.
See, that's where it all went wrong for you. That's why you're so argumentative.
No, you're the argumentative one. I'm just trying to be reasonable.
I'm not argumentative. I never even entered into spokey dokey giveaways, so I'm not wounded. I'm not broken.
Come on, let's go. Everyone's sick the fuck out of this.
And you can feel that. Powder blue. Oh, powder blue. I've got this feeling, powder blue, oh powder blue, powder blue, it's in my head for you. I'll be true, my powder blue, powder blue, it's all for you. It's all for you. Bobby Ogden on the piano. Thanks, Bobby. Mr. Charlie McCoy, harmonica. Charlie. Russ Hicks, steel guitar. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present Muhammad Ali.